Thoughts about a bittersweet spring. As much as I love the winter, I appreciate that Lake Tahoe has been experiencing an exceptional spring season. The temperatures have been favorable and the sun is melting the snow. Please note, however, that there's still a lot of snow in the backcountry, which makes for challenging hiking conditions. Just watch my short video below celebrating the 100th day of my cross-country ski season to see just how much snow there was last weekend at Carson Pass. The birds have been out in full force as well, and all of us birders competing in the Tahoe Big Year have been embracing that fact. There have been so many uncommon bird sightings at Lake Tahoe this spring that it's almost unbelievable. In fact, our competition leader spotted a white wagtail feeding and resting on the south shore of Lake Tahoe a couple of weeks ago. Rare doesn't even begin to describe that sighting. Why? Because a white wagtail lives in Russia during the summers and then normally winters in Southeast Asia. So who knows how it came to Tahoe. But with so many more people out and about looking for birds and then documenting them with photographs, it stands to reason that many species would be identified this year. The more you look, the more you find. An interesting note about Lake Tahoe is that when we experience a drought year, which this year is due to the low snowpack, more shoreline and marshland becomes exposed. This leads to more habitat in which birds can live. So this may be one of the primary reasons for so many sightings of such uncommon birds so far this year. As much fun as I've been having finding new birds, new places to find birds, and meeting new birding friends, I have to admit that this spring is bittersweet. I don't have it in me to write a whole lot right now about the tragedy, but my best friend of 28 years died in an auto accident last Wednesday evening. This occurred on April 28, 2021 at about 5:30 p.m. Eric Stewart died upon impact in a traffic accident while driving his work semi-trailer truck. The accident is being investigated since the fatality was work-related. Regardless of the findings, though, Eric is gone and won't be returning. Eric and I met while serving in the United States Marine Corps. Specifically, we met in the spring of 1993 while we were in the School of Infantry. We became instant friends when he saw that I was reading one of Matt Groening's illustrated books from his Life in Hell series. Such a weird conversation starter, but we were both 18-year-old kids with a quirky sense of humor. The two of us parted ways after completing our military training. He went to Puerto Rico after Security Forces school for an 18-month tour, while I was stationed in Spain during that same time frame. I assumed once we left for our respective duty stations that our friendship was effectively over. But, as luck would have it, or the fact that the Marine Corps is a very small organization, the separation was only temporary. After serving 18 months abroad, we transferred to the same infantry unit at Camp Pendleton, California, which was the 1st Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment. Eric was assigned to Bravo Company while I was in Charlie Company, but that didn't matter because we lived only a couple of barracks away. We quickly became inseparable when it came time for libo, or time after work, time off, that sort of thing. After completing our 4-year commitment to the Marine Corps, Eric swung for the fences by going to Hollywood and becoming an actor. I, on the other hand, took a more conservative and logical path by returning to the Upper Midwest to attend college. It was at that point that we began our 25-year long-distance relationship. You'd think that since we had known each other for so long that we would have spent more time together. We did get together whenever the opportunity presented itself. However, even when we lived in the same city, the majority of our friendship was conducted over the phone or via email or snail mail during those first years after the Marine Corps anyway. The reality was that life, work schedules, and the fact that we often lived in different states got in the way of actually spending time together. Interestingly, we had only lived together for about 6 months out of those 28 years of being best friends. But in many respects, that was irrelevant. For most of those 2+ decades after the Marine Corps, we were in contact on a near daily basis. People often wondered how we could talk on the phone for an hour each day, every day of the week, and then still have things to talk about the following week. I don't exactly know myself, but we're both creative people, and there was always something stimulating in which to discuss, whether that be our own projects and dreams, some movie or book we recently experienced, or a current event. Realistically, though, I think we just enjoyed talking to each other so often because it meant that there was always someone there to listen. Either way, our daily conversations are what I'll miss most now that Eric is gone. Admittedly, we had a falling out this past November. In fact, we hadn't spoken to one another since election night. Such a dumb thing, really. Like any relationship, we've had our disputes and differences of opinions over the years, but never have our political beliefs been in such stark contrast as this past year. So we effectively took a break from speaking to each other. One argument doesn't make a relationship, though, so I knew we would eventually reconcile. It's just going to take some time. I've dwelt on the past as much as the next person, but I don't prescribe to the concept of regret. That's just not a part of who I am, nor has it ever been. So I'm not going to start now. As nice as it would be to be able to say that our last conversation was all about rainbows and butterflies rather than some stupid political argument about conspiracy theories, the fact remains that Eric is gone, and I will miss him dearly.